We'd like to welcome you.
Love Talk Radio.
We'd like to welcome you to Africa on the Move, a show that's dedicated to being the voice for the voiceless, to serve underserved communities and people. As you know, they say the more things change, the more they remain the same. And tonight we have a good example of this particular quote. We have a young lady from Colorado. She has a very interesting story, a story that may not be unique in general, but I think in particular, just given the conditions and issues that she has been recently facing as it relates to trying to incarcerate another young African youth. I think she has a story that needs to be told. And she's appealing to the African communities and all communities of goodwill in terms of to hear her story and to see how can we maybe come together and bring about justice for a young man who she believes and can prove that, given a fair chance, he's innocent of all the so-called issues that have been thrown at him. So right now, we would like to bring in our guest, Sister Katie Fulton. We would like to welcome you to Africa on the Move. Welcome, Sister Fulton.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate an opportunity to share my experience. My heart is breaking, as you probably will tell. My son and I are actually fighting for our lives here in Colorado. We are graduates of the University of Colorado, and for whatever reason, law enforcement officials have followed, profiled, harassed, and undermined us for the past 10-plus years without a cause. We've never had a problem. We've never caused a problem for law enforcement. And my son graduated from high school with honors in Colorado. And he was recruited into the minority engineering program at the University of Colorado. He accepted that recruitment, and he finished his degree requirements with a major in mathematics. Nevertheless, many of his job applications were not received positively, so he decided that he would continue his education, hoping to make himself more competitive in the job market. In the process of trying to advance himself, a few weeks ago, law enforcement officials came into my unit with a pass key. Early in the morning, I was still in my nightgown, and they ordered me at gunpoint to leave my apartment immediately. And of course, looking at the gun, realizing it was loaded, and they came prepared to take my life if necessary, I saw 8 to 9 plainclothes policemen insisting that I leave immediately, and I did. I stepped outside in my nightgown. They continued to ask for my son. I told them that my son was not home, and he was not here. They insisted to check each room, each closet, under the bed. Everything and anything that they could find was turned inside out and upside down. They confiscated computers, cell phones, cameras, cash, went through my purse, went through all the desk drawers, all the kitchen cabinets, and after confiscating everything that they thought they would need and wanted to use to build a case, I asked them if they could please allow me to have a sweater because it was chilly. And they handed me a sweater outside, but they said, you still cannot come in here. I stayed outside for at least 2 or 3 hours, and I could see them continuing to search. And after more time passed, they said to me, you need to leave. You need to find some place to go. Don't you have friends or family somewhere you can go? I said, I don't have friends or family here. My son is my only family member in Colorado. So they said, well, we're going to be in here for a while, so you can just find someplace else to go. I said, well, I cannot go to my neighbors in my nightgown. How would that look? I don't even have an underclothes on. So after searching for more hours, one of the female police officers followed me to the restroom to watch me put on some underclothes. as they continued to search and seize and confiscate any and everything that they thought they needed to build a case against me or my son or both. I didn't have any idea what they were looking for or what they were doing. I walked to the corner store after putting on. They allowed me to put on a skirt and a sweater, and I walked to the corner store to use the public phone to see if I could get someone, a taxi or something, to come and pick me up, someone or anyone that could help. The owner of the store there allowed me to use the phone and said that they could see that I needed some assistance, and they felt badly. My neighbors all came out, and they felt badly, but they didn't know what to do. At that time, I decided to walk back to my home, and then a second group of policemen was there. It's now past 5 or 6 hours has passed. And I said, "Can I come in now?" They said, "No, you still cannot come in here." I said, "Well, who are you?" And they said, "We are Arapahoe County." I said, "What are you doing in my home?" They said, "Well, we are waiting for a search warrant to be delivered." I said, "You are standing in my house. You're holding me at gunpoint, and you're telling me I cannot come in?" And they said, "No, you cannot come in. We are waiting for a search warrant to be delivered to us." So I had to stay outside again. So what happened is that Douglas County, when they were through confiscating what they wanted, they called in Arapahoe County, and Arapahoe came in without a search warrant and continued to seize and confiscate and tear my son's room upside down, inside out. And when they took bags and bags of things, nothing, it doesn't look anything like what the inventory sheet that they left with me. I said, "Well, I need to have a key, so whenever you do leave, I will be able to come back in, because I'm cold, I don't have any money, I don't have any phone, I don't have any cash, I have no way to get a resource, I have no way to ask for help. You have everything. You have everything. You have the computer, my camera, my phone, you went through my purse." I said, "I don't have anything to ask for help. How am I going to get help?" I said, "Can I have the key off the wall, please?" And I had an old pepper spray attached to one of the door keys. And he said, "Well, you're definitely not going to get this pepper spray." I said, "I don't need the pepper spray. I just need the keys. The pepper spray is very old, 1998. I said, "I have never used it." So I'm telling you now that for whatever reason, they are looking to build a case against my son, and they are double-teaming him. They have 2-3 counties coming after him simultaneously. And as an honor graduate, as a young man who's not in the streets, he's not caused problems, they decided that they're going to reach into his home and use his computer against him. So they said, "Well, we tracked porn coming into this residence, so we are going to take this and see if we can prove our case." I said, "Well, I'm not into porn, and my son is not into porn." I said, "I think that if you have porn coming into my computers, then someone is sending it. Someone is sending the porn there. So for my assessment, it appears as though someone had access to my home other than these police officers before. And we've lived the same place for 10-plus years. And there's no doubt in my mind that my computers were hacked, my computers were used by other individuals, that they had routinely come into my place with a passkey. Ironically, the maintenance man who works on the same location for 8-plus years all of a sudden just up and packed and left in the middle of the night a week before this happened, just days before this happened. So I'm saying that's kind of strange. That causes me to pause. Was it possible that he had given my passkey, my door key, to someone else before these police officers used it? Is it possible that someone else came in and accessed my computer without my knowledge? Is it possible that they would go this far to try and undermine a woman and her son, both college graduates in Colorado? I mean, if they don't want us here, allow us to leave. Don't try to incarcerate us and take our lives. Don't try to undermine us by using technology." So they're now saying that, okay, we can charge him with a felony. We can charge him with sex offenses, not because he touched anybody, not because he raped anybody, but because we can use the porn on his computer to make a case against him. And that's why I'm saying, and I appreciate your assessment, that the more things change, the more they stay the same. Because if they're willing to go this far, spend this kind of money, and use this kind of manpower with a loaded gun to use his computer against him, then they are desperate. They are desperate to undermine a young black man with potential. And this young black man is not only my caregiver, but he's a good and decent person. He's not hurt anybody in this community. He's not hurt anybody in Colorado. And Colorado knows us. They know both of us. And they know that we are good people, and they know that we are law-abiding people. So I'm appealing to the public today. If you know anyone who can help with legal fees or with any kind of assistance, please have them call me. They can reach Katie at 720-499-5146, or they can reach me or leave a message at 720-221-8500. Today, I stand in the need of prayer. I share my experience with you so that you might understand that if it can happen to me in Colorado, it could happen to you where you are. You don't have to be in the street. You don't have to go to a party. You don't have to cause trouble. You can stay at home and mind your business, and they'll still find a reason and a way to infiltrate your environment and undermine you where you are.
You know, Katie, one of the things I recently discovered about the state of Colorado when it comes to African youth is that they are one of the leading states in framing and imprisoning the African youth among all the states in the country, which was sort of a surprise. I didn't know Colorado was the leading state in the area. What I would like to do at this point in time, there are some people of interest or callers who have called in who have been listening to your particular case. They may have some questions or comments that they'd like to ask you. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to go to our callers, and I'm going to ask our callers to, when I identify your last four numbers, you may speak. We'll take our first caller at number 0673. We'd like to welcome you to Africa on Your Move. Your question or comment, please. Caller,
yes,
0673.
Yes, two questions. One is, you said that the enforcement agent had been following your son for 10 years. How do you know they've been following your son for 10 years? And you said they came in the house and was got your computer and things like that while they're waiting for a search warrant. If they start searching and without identifying what they're being searched before they get the search warrant, should that case be thrown out?
Yes, sir. I appreciate your legal assessment, and I appreciate your understanding and listening carefully. The reason we know that we were being profiled, harassed, and monitored is because we could see them following us. We could see them. My son, when he's driving, he could see them in the rearview mirror. I could see them when I'm driving. That's one of the reasons that anyone in Colorado will tell you they never see us on the road late at night. Because late at night, we put ourselves at risk. And we understood that years ago based on their behavior pattern towards us. We have had other young people to tell us that we were being profiled and followed and harassed, but they could not do anything about it. They could not help us with it. I recall a few years ago, and I'm a family therapist, by the way. I'm certified in three areas of Colorado. And 5 miles from work, I was stopped by the police and got a ticket for going too slow. 5 miles from home on the same day, I was stopped again and got a ticket for going too slow. It was on an old frontage road. That old frontage road has now been built up and has cafes and restaurants on it, but years ago, that's what I endured. At one time, I went outside my front door and found a ticket on my car while it was in the parking space. And I said, why is the ticket on my car in the parking space? And they said, well, they didn't see my disability sign. So if I didn't have my disability sign, they had to give me a ticket. So you name the reason and the way, they have found a way. And they know how to do it. And they have done
okay.
It successfully.
Okay, let me just stop you right quick and let's get a few more callers in. Our next caller going to be 3647. Caller 3647. Your question or comment, please. Yes, call 3647. Hello, do we have caller 3647? Question or comment, please? Again, we're going to identify our callers by the last four numbers. We can call your last four numbers your own. Okay, we'll come back to caller 3647. And let's go to caller 5383. Caller 5383, your question or comment, please?
Yes, I'm really very disturbed hearing your story, ma'am, and I reach out to you and let you know that this can happen to any of us. And it's
yes,
very
sir.
Sad that what you've faced at the hands of what they call the law. I would ask you two things. One, do you have have you been able to obtain a legal assistance, a reliable lawyer that you can trust? And number two, were you able to get the names of any of the arresting or the officers that were in your residence? And if so, I would suggest that you should write that down and keep that record because, you know, once you start losing through memory loss, forgetting what happened, they can say it never happened.
Yes, sir, I appreciate your question. We are navigating a viable attorney at this time. And I'd about networking, find someone who is competent and caring. Those are the three criterias, because you could have a lawyer who is not competent, not capable, and not caring, and you find yourself in a whirlwind of disaster. And the challenge is before me to find an attorney who truly can relate to the experience of a young black male who has potential to make a contribution to society, who has never had a problem with law enforcement, and now faces 5 to 10 years in prison based on a computer. This is a felony that they're looking at. And I appreciate the fact that you've also pointed out the names. I did ask individuals who were coming in out of my unit if they could give me a card, please. Many of them did not identify themselves to me. They refused to give me their cards and identify themselves to me, keeping in mind that they were all plainclothes people. Now, I'm an old lady.
Yeah.
You know, I could have fallen out, but God kept me strong. I did not cry. I did not faint. I just asked for my medicine off the counter so I could take my medication, and they handed me my medication outside with a glass of water, which I did take. I'm here today by the grace of God. Yes, I do have some of the names that are in and out of my unit, and they know fully well that the second group that came in without a search warrant. So they're piggybacking off of each other. They're saying, okay, we're in, so you come in. If we don't get him, you get him. If you don't get him, we'll get him. But we're going to double-team him and do whatever we can.
Yes. Well, let me just lastly say that this sounds like this was a fishing expedition. That's the term they use, okay? They go fishing, and they see what they can find. And there's nothing more evil than that, if you ask me. Thank you very much for your courage.
Thank you for your understanding. You're right.
Okay, let's go to our next caller. We are caller 4832. 4832. Your question or comment? Do we have caller 4832?
Neither.
Okay.
Neither. I don't have a comment. I was trying to listen in, but when I initially called, they said there were so many people on the line I couldn't get in. So I was still trying to hear what the situation was with this person with the family.
Okay.
I never
Katie.
Heard it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, she's been explaining for the last 10, 15 minutes. But, Katie, maybe you want to continue to talk about the status of your son going to the courts, what kind of conditions he is under, and what kind of hardship you're dealing with right now.
Yes, there were initially three counties filing charges against my son simultaneously. There was Boulder County, Douglas County, and Arapahoe County. So we've had to address each county day by day, step by step, one at a time in a respectful way. We went to Boulder County, and Boulder County had him cited for trespassing, keeping in mind that this young man graduated on the Boulder campus. It's kind of hard and embarrassing to get a trespassing ticket on your alma mater. But when he went before the judge, he respectfully asked to talk to the prosecutor. The judge granted him a few minutes to meet with the prosecutor, and the prosecutor understood my son and was telling him the truth. He was not trespassing. He was not on campus to cause any harm. He has lived on the same campus for 5+ years in Boulder. He understands the rules and the policies. He was there looking for academic support, and academic support only at that time. He was there to connect with his tutor and with former professors and chancellors who would be a character reference for him. He was there to check in with them. So at the moment he was speaking with the prosecutor, the prosecutor says, well, what time, what name? And my son happened to have his phone with him, and he said, well, let me pull up a name here and number. I'll give it to you now. On the spot, he gave the city attorney, the prosecutor, the number and name of the individual that he spoke with looking for academic support. He said, well, let me call this name and number and check it out. And he did. He did. And by the end of the day, when we got back from court, the prosecutor left a message on the phone saying that his experience was confirmed. He was not on the campus to cause trouble. He was on the campus looking for academic support only. And that's what he did, and that's what he got. There was absolutely no reason at all to give him a trespassing ticket. There was no reason to arrest him, but they did. They arrested him and then took him to the Boulder County Jail, and the Boulder County Jail picked him up and took him to Douglas. And Douglas, of course, says, okay, well, we got him now. We'll hold him for Arapahoe. So they're playing ping-pong ball with my child.
Now, you need to maybe one more time for those who may have came on late. Quickly, if you can, just give a general description on the type of child you have in terms of his upbringing, the things he has been able to achieve, and what could be the motivation. I know one of the things you may have left out that I also realize is that, if I'm not mistaken, you have filed some kind of legal matters against the state dealing with employment or something.
It could be connected to that, because my son is a support base for me, and because he is a support base for me, he may very well have become a target for them to undermine, to incarcerate, to destroy and discredit, because they know he is my support base as well as my caregiver. On the 22nd of March, we were in federal court addressing the case of unemployment discrimination, a case that is on file and ongoing, and they know that. They observed us there. Local police followed us there. So they don't like the fact that I would dare have the nerve to request and beg and plead for work. And because I was not employed in a position that I felt I was qualified to have, then I filed an employment discrimination complaint in federal court. My son helped me with the bags. He helped me with the check-in and check-out and the lines and all of this. So they saw him there on the 22nd of March. Lo and behold, a few days after that is when the maintenance man here up and packed wife, kids, pets, plants, furniture, everything gone. Overnight, gone. And somehow, some way, he never said bye. We were leaving after 8 years. And I do believe that he and others may have had access to my home and my computer, and they had done whatever they could to discredit and destroy us. And that's no surprise as to how the police would have gotten the passkey to my home, but they did come in with the passkey.
Okay, we're going to stop right quick and take another caller. We can go to caller 8486. Caller 8486. Your question or comment, please. Welcome to Africa on the Move. Do we have a comment for caller 8486? I guess we don't have no comment. We'll continue our discussion. We're talking to young lady, sister Katie Fulton, who's a resident of Colorado. What part of Colorado you live in, Ms. Fulton?
I'm in Inglewood, Colorado. It's a suburban area of suburb of Denver, Colorado.
Okay, and she is calling out to go finish
up on this. Yes, I am asking for help. If there's anyone out there within my listening voice who have any kind of legal assistance, legal expertise, financial support, even motivational support. Anything at all will help at this point because I cannot afford to give up on my son. I cannot, because he has been good, respectful, supportive in my home. And as I said before, he has never, ever been a problem for law enforcement. And for them to reach out and reach down and penetrate his environment in his home to try and use his computer against him is a travesty. It's an absolute travesty because he has not killed anybody. He's not raped anybody. He's not touched a child. And I could see now, just coming home a few days ago on Thursday, one of my neighbors came outside. For the first time, I met them, and they observed me outside in my nightgown. And she said, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure." She says, "You know, when the police were here the other day, I saw all the things going on, and one of them told me to keep my children away from your son because he's very dangerous." I said, "Well, you can decide what you want to do with that." I said, "But my son was living here before you moved in, and he's never hurt a child, and had no desire to hurt a child. He's never hurt any adults or children or families. I've had first-hand observation of his interaction. He's a good person who spent all of his life trying to improve his circumstance, trying to educate himself. So we're not a danger to you." I said, "They can tell you that I eat watermelon at night and spit the seeds out of my ear." I said, "You can believe what you want to believe." I said, "But I'm just trying to be a good neighbor." And she said, "Well, you are. You are a good neighbor." Now, this is a white woman. And someone said, "Well,
Katie,
you know."
Katie, let me stop you for a second. We've got about 3 minutes left. And I would like for you to talk a little bit, if you can, about up to this point, how has the legal profession treated you and your son when it comes to this due process? And what
I
mean by that is
the due process has been challenging. Yes, no discovery has been presented yet.
Okay, I want you to talk a little bit about when you went to the court, they refused to give you and your attorney, who was a court-appointed attorney, any discovery information.
Right.
That will allow
exactly.
you to identify what is that they're charging your son on. As
exactly.
well as
not
your son has never had a criminal record, but they end up putting a bracelet on him. What is all this about? Just talk to people just briefly a little bit about that situation.
That's very challenging as well. On the 16th of May, that would have been the third parish before the judge in Douglas County. And on the 16th of May, the court-appointed attorney, as we are still navigating, she asked the judge to consider releasing him on personal reconnaissance, and the public, the city attorney at the time, the prosecutor, Christopher Gallows, said, "Oh, no, 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 we don't want that, we don't want that." He says, "We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pictures of, on his computer." So I'm saying in my mind, I'm sitting in the court, if they have hundreds and hundreds of pictures, the people who sent them there should know what they are. My son did not request them, did not recruit them, did not sell them, did not do anything with them. He did not even know they were there. I did not even know they were there. So now they have our computers, and they are trying to build a case based on technological sex. They're charging him with sex crimes based on the technological services of the computer, which is ludicrous. But he was not prepared to give any discovery. And the public defender asked him, she said to the judge, "We asked for the discovery weeks ago." And this was back in April. The latter
okay,
part of
Katie.
April.
Katie, we got less than 1 minute. 1 minute, and I would like to ask you again. It's clearly that you need some serious legal representation.
I do.
What can the people do to help you, and how can they contact you? Quickly, give me about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Please call me at 720-499-5146 or 720-221-8500. In addition to bailing him out and paying the bail bondsman, we have to pay $400 for an ankle bracelet.
Yes,
now he's got an ankle bracelet on him. An ankle bracelet is on him now. An ankle bracelet is on him. Now that is really and truly financially draining us. He doesn't need an ankle bracelet. He's not a flight risk. He's not a threat to the community.
Okay, Katie, on that note, we're going to have to stop you, and we'd like to thank you for coming to Africa on the Move, sharing your story with our community. We hope that we may have reached someone in our community who see the necessity, come forward and help this sister and her son, and recognize that not unless we stick together, we all will be end up in the same boat. We need to come together and unite as a community. So we'd like to encourage our viewers and supporters. If you know anybody who can help her in the legal matter, financial matter, please do so. Until next time, we see you next week on Africa on the Move. And we thank all our audience and our guest today for sharing her story. We thank you.
Thank you.